This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Welcome to Place to Be Nation's comprehensive look at the news and happenings throughout today's wrestling universe. Hosts JT Rosero, Steve Willey, and Nate Milton are joined by insiders and guests to take you around the wrestling world on PTBN's Clotheslines and Headlines. Take it away, boys. It's Lariat time.
And extra, extra. We all are fine.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to episode number 4 of PTBN's Clotheslines and Headlines, the only place to be in the wrestling world for your podcast to cover the world of wrestling. Is that good? I'm still working that out, Steve. What do you think?
I think it needs a little work. It seems repetitious, but I am known to be repetitive myself, so I can't judge.
That's okay. I guess it's we'll get there. We'll figure it out. Anyway, because we're still kind of new. We're 4 episodes in, though. I thought this was only episode 3 when I went to do the write-up. And I'm like, wow, we've already done – this is our 4th one. That's crazy. But here we are. That means we're a couple months in, and that also means we're about to talk to the godfather, Mr. Nate Milton. Nate, how are you?
I'm doing good, brother. And in terms of speeches, you know, I've digested a lot of political speeches over the past 2 weeks. So I'd say on a scale of Antonio Sabato to – Michelle Obama, you are definitely you're Bernie Sanders range, brother. You're Bernie Sanders
That's
range.
That's good. He's beloved. I'll be the burn. Feel the burn. Feel the JT. Okay. So anyway, here we are. It's been a busy couple weeks, and we got a lot to cover tonight. Of course, we are talking WWE as always. We're about almost a little under a month away from SummerSlam. 3 weeks. God, 3 weeks already from SummerSlam. Yeah, I guess so.
Almost two.
Jeez, Steve Willey, we'll be there live, and we have a big SummerSlam preview episode planned for 2 weeks' time. But we'll touch on it tonight. We're also going to cover, since we haven't really talked since the brand split officially kicked off, we'll break down the first couple weeks of Raw and SmackDown, how they're settling in. We'll do a little tick sheet, a little scorecard, talk about continue to look at the winners and losers of the brands. We'll look at, is it sustainable the way they're doing things? Is it better? Is it worse? We'll talk about all that in our WWE section. Big guest tonight as well, we have Brad Woodling and Kevin Kelly, the voice of Ring of Honor. Kevin's going to join us to talk about the future of the Kevin Kelly Show podcast here at PlaceToBeNation.com. He's going to talk about his new job at Ring of Honor as well as what's going on in the world of ROH. So him and Brad will be here to talk Ring of Honor. And our friend from 2 weeks ago, Brad Stutz, will be here as well. Of course, the man behind the wonderful CWF and also will be the voice of the Scenic City Invitational. Him and Mark Chad Campbell will be here to talk all about that big tournament. Chad's making the flight out to Nashville, I believe it is, for that show. So he'll be there with the crew, quite a big crew going, of course. So they'll talk that later on in the show as well. But what we're going to do is, unless either of you guys have anything you want to get out here as a newsworthy, we'll probably take a break and come right back. But Steve, you got anything you want to discuss quick before we head to break?
Wow, you threw that on me, didn't you?
That's how I do.
Yeah, I'm excited about something that we will talk about in a couple weeks. A little preview already coming up of what ahead. I'm going to try to pop my peas just to prepare for Brad.
Going to get ready. The Prince of Popping.
Yeah, New Japan Pro Wrestling. The G1 Climax. We'll be talking to our friend Mark Chad Campbell about that in a couple weeks. And I just finished watching the Super J Cup for the first round, and I am locked in. I got my NJPW World subscription now and feel like I'm going to be part of wrestling Twitter, perhaps. Maybe I'll be invited.
I don't know. It's an exclusive club.
Yeah, I've only watched about an hour or two of wrestling a night. I think I need about 10 more hours a day.
And you need a gimmick, a Twitter gimmick.
I do need a Twitter gimmick.
That's how you do it. Speaking of Twitter gimmicks, Godfather, what do you got, anything?
No, man, I'm still I'm a little disappointed at my joke off the top. I'm now realizing that I should have gone with Scott Baio and not Antonio Sabato Jr. Like that would have been the bigger laugh going with Chachi. So that's my bad, everybody.
Nate, anything you say is lovable and laughable.
Well, speaking of Twitter gimmicks, I put a trademark symbol at the back of my Twitter name this week. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
Wow.
Look at you, big time.
Yeah, you know, I'm a mover and a shaker.
Since we're not covering TNA, is there anything going on there you wanted to cover quick in this first segment?
Just that if you haven't seen, and I don't know, depending on how far they go with this thing, maybe we'll have to get our TNA correspondent, Aaron, back on the horn in a couple weeks. They've taken the Final Deletion template of doing crazy, fantastical storytelling, and they've extended it with the Decay. Because this past week, we got the backstory of Rosemary.
I don't know what that means, but it sounds crazy.
All I'm going to say is it included a talking tree, a dead mother, and a romance angle. So good job, TNA.
Broken Matt said he's taken over. He was on Talk is Jericho, which just came out the day we're taping on Wednesday.
By the way, I saw a rumor mentioned somewhere that the Hardys, or maybe Scott Key's blog, someone sent him an email. The Hardys are rumored to be surprises at SummerSlam. Have you guys seen that anywhere?
I haven't seen it anywhere, but I have heard the rumors, and I'm not sure their status of their TNA contracts, but it'd be interesting, man, because I know that the WWE would probably want Jeff maybe for one last run. I don't know how they feel about Matt though, but it'd be interesting, Steve.
It would definitely be interesting. Like, you would think they would have Matt and Jeff just locked into a major contract with all of the power and all of. They've been very, loose and allowed them to do what they want to do. So to not have them locked up would be oh so TNA.
I'm pretty sure the contract is up fairly soon. I remember them saying, I thought it was next year, though, for Jeff, unless it's sooner than that. Because, they're not going to let them go if they're under contract. So, I don't know. We'll have to see. I looked quick. I don't see any news out there. So, Nate, do you remember where you saw the rumor? Was it just Twitter?
I let's just say I've got sources. I got people.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Wow. Really,
you got to know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody.
You got to get that little TM at the end of your name to get that kind of info, I guess.
Hey, next step is that that blue check mark.
That's right.
I'm working for that one.
I'll call you Blue Nate. That's what we're looking for here at the Place to Be Nation. So, all right, why don't we take a break? We'll come back. Kevin Kelly's going to be here. Brad Woodling's going to be here. We're going to be talking Ring of Honor, talking Kevin Kelly Show. And, of course, Kevin's work behind the scenes at ROH as that continues to grow. So we'll take a break. We'll be right back here, episode 4, Clotheslines in Heaven. Stay tuned. Well, although I wasn't there,
said I was a friend. Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
All right, we are back here, episode number 4 of PTBN's Clotheslines and Headlines. We got Steve, we got Nate, and we have two guests with us here because we're going to kick things off with some Ring of Honor talk. And, of course, if we're talking ROH, that means we have to bring in the head cheese, the main dude, the Jack Tunney. Well, he's not really a figurehead. That's Scott. I guess the Vince McMahon of Place to Be Nation. That's Brad Woodling. Brad, how are you?
Justin, I'm doing great.
You sound like you're actually, just here for once on this new microphone.
I always sound great. It's just a little bit better than great now, so.
Yeah. Steve Willey still said you popping peas, though.
I was listening to Jordan Duncan's Rangit File with the 16-bit video game countdown in there. Some definite peapod. Yeah. Yep.
PlayStation. Stop and shop peapod. Say it, Brad.
Anyway.
No pee in that.
Peapod. Stop and shop. Anyway. Also with us is the voice of Ring of Honor, and of course, a dear friend of Place to Be Nation. I'd say staff member of Place to Be Nation. How about that? So I'm going to throw that out there right now. And that is, of course, the one and only Mr. Kevin Kelly. Kevin, how are you?
Very good, very good. Happy summer, gentlemen. It's been too long.
It has been too long. Even since you blew us off in West Warwick, because you looked like the Phantom of the Opera in that.
Oh, God, I was so sick.
Yeah. You even blew off Adele's. You blew off Adele's. That's how I knew you were sick.
That was like the 24-hour flu bug that came and went just as fast, but it hit hard, and I was down for the count that night in West Warwick.
Passed up Boneheads and Dell, so that was a lot you passed up. We're going to take care of you with that. Maybe next time. Anyway.
Yes.
So many people can obviously attest to this witty repertoire we have going on right now that we that we have because we co-hosted the Kevin Haley Show back in the day. It's been on a bit of a hiatus. Our last episode was back before WrestleMania. And then things changed for you, Kevin. Things get a little bit busy. You started going to Japan more. You got that Ribera Steakhouse jacket. You became big time. A little too big, and then other shit went down, and now here we are. So the fans have been clamoring on Twitter and on Facebook and around the world, wondering what's going on with the Kevin Kelly Show. So why don't you do us a favor, talk about your new gig at Ring of Honor, because congratulations there. Talk about the future of the podcast, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, it was kind of a twofold thing. What started off as a short-term hiatus has now become a permanent one for at least the time being, because around the time of the War of the Worlds tour, I had traveled to Japan, came back. We had a week of shows all while doing a full-time job. And I was just at the point of like, I just need a break. Cause I was done. I was toast. So figured a couple of weeks, maybe a month, we'll be good to go. But in the meantime, because I was kind of also raising my hand at Ring of Honor saying, listen, guys, there's some areas where I see, some opportunity, some need, and I would like to kind of consolidate down to one job. So if everything was to work out financially, is this something that we could discuss? And they were open to it. And, we got it to work out financially, so I was able to consolidate down to one job. But when the workings of that started going in June and then starting the job in early July. And what I realized is that once I got started with this, is that part of my thing now is being full time in Ring of Honor and being sort of in the office, for lack of a better word. I felt like it would be difficult for me to discuss other companies. And it would also be unfair of me to intentionally hold back things that I might know about Ring of Honor because of my position. So I just felt like because of the potential conflict of interest, it's not fair for me to discuss other companies and other guys or whatever. If, say a contract comes up and we decide that we want to make a play for a free agent or something, I just didn't want to bring Sinclair or anything into any type of conflict of interest. So I figured at least now for this span of time, let me step away. Let me just focus on the job with Ring of Honor. Depending on how the position goes over time, if I feel like we're not in a conflict of interest situation, then I can step back in and we can pick up the podcast and we can do so accordingly. Plus, JR, we've talked about maybe doing a couple of things like specifically with Ring of Honor in regards to Place to Be Nation. And that's still on the table. Part of the issue right now is that Ring of Honor and its website is still being redesigned. We're kind of waiting for that 2.0 version and already thinking about 3.0. That's still months away. So if that new website gets launched, we're going to need some content. And that might be where a Kevin Kelly podcast, through our relationship with Place to Be Nation, might come back into form. But it would just be strictly an ROH podcast. Kevin Kelly Show, as far as what we did for the 50 plus episodes that we did do, worked because we talked about everything. We talked about all companies. We were sort of irreverent. It was always a lot of fun. So, if we just did a specialized ROH podcast, then that would be something that we could do on the new site.
No, I think that sums it up very well. And it was, we've said it before, it was a great run. And we wanted to do this here tonight because so many shows just kind of end and just go away. And you never know what happened. It could be wrestlers or other people just kind of doing a podcast one day and it just vanishes. But we didn't want to do that. We wanted to have some closure and because it was a great run. I thought we had a lot of good guests. We had a lot of good conversation. So thank you for your dedication during times where you were very busy with a lot of travel and whatnot. You always made it easy to keep things running. So with that said, again, congrats on your new gig at Ring of Honor. Anything else you want to talk about in that realm before we move on to the product?
I don't know. I've got I have this weird, has anybody ever had a job where they have a job title that you can't remember? that's the position that I'm in now. Like, it's, I'm not just Ring of Honor announcer. Like, I have this, you know, kind of HR created job title, which doesn't really, I mean, I guess it kind of describes what I am, creative and operational logistics manager.
You have your hands in a lot of cookie jars.
I do. And I have to actively think about that. Like, if somebody says, well, what do you do? What's your job? Wait a second. Give me a minute. Operation, creative and operational logistics manager. That's it. Got it.
So COM.
So I,
C-O-L-M.
Yeah. Oh, an acronym.
There you go. ROH
I like
a,
it. Okay.
ROH has an HR department.
Does now.
Sinclair Broadcast, Sinclair Broadcast Group has a HR department.
I guess so. That makes sense.
We got a pretty big parent company.
Yeah. Well, you didn't know using acronym. They got big.
Big shiny office building, you know, glass doors, the whole bit. They've got it going on. There's a helicopter pad.
Jeez. It's like you're working for Ted Turner.
Brother, it's that company's no joke. They really have it going on. And, you know, just learning about the company more that owns Ring of Honor, you know, now in its fifth year. And it's like, man, this is great. Sinclair is like a really good success story. If anybody, you know, took time to look it up and did some research on it, you know, you'll see how prominent it is in the community and the things that they've done, the way it's grown over the years. Pretty impressive stuff.
So obviously with the show going away, that doesn't mean if anyone is still interested in hearing the full archives, they're going to exist here at PlayStation.com, the entire run of the Kevin Kelly Show. So if you're just listening to this show and you never heard it, the full archives are available. Brad, of course, you're here. So do you want to tell us kind of what the future of that feed's going to be or what the, you know, where the archives are going to be housed?
Sure. So right now you can find the complete archive of the Kevin Kelly Show on iTunes and Google Play. And of course, at we have a Podbean site and placetobenation.com. If you go to placetobenation, you'll see the great logo that we designed, what was over 2.5 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And you can find all the individual episodes there. On the feed right now, we're going to slowly over the, like, probably say maybe once a month, maybe I'll pick it up, is we're going to be reproducing some of Kevin's interviews on the Place to Be podcast to go through his time in the WWF. You know, obviously they were incredibly successful in helping build not only the Place to Be podcast, but PlaceToBeNation.com and what turned into eventually being the Kevin Kelly Show. So we're going to kind of share those on that feed to hopefully a new audience to get people to still checking out the site. And yeah, so that archive is out there for everybody.
All right. So Steve, why don't we veer off now and talk about Ring of Honor itself, the product. We got the calm, the voice here of Ring of Honor. Might as well chat about it. So why don't you lead us there?
Well, I'm kind of intrigued as kind of a transition, Kevin, with your new responsibilities. Is there, you know, as you're developing the role, and are there any new particular responsibilities that you're looking forward to tackle, or any, you know, creative juices flowing? Like, what are you most excited about?
Good question. I've described it while I struggle through the job title. I kind of describe it as I'm the connective tissue that's now been put in place between a lot of different departments. So creative has an idea, but again, the creative team is basically one guy who gets advice and guidance and runs things through several of us, but none of those people, you know, were then looping production in to actually, how are we going to shoot this? And when are we going to schedule it? And what do we need to do? Like, one of our first conversations was Christopher Daniels was always struggling with the timekeeper and announce tables at ringside. So I said, okay, let's talk about that. He wanted it moved away from the ring, just felt for safety, for moving around the ring, et cetera, it'd be better if it was away. Where do we put it? How do we do it? So it seems simple, right? But it's really not, because you've got to look at, you know, table drops and where it is in relation to the cameras, things like that. So while it may not seem like the most exciting thing in the world, I got the conversation going between Chris and his idea and the production director so that now we can get that table moved away from the ring so that it works not only you know, and it's more wrestler friendly around the ring area, but it also still works for production, not blocking any of the camera runs. They have to run cable. The camera people have to be able to move freely around the ring. The barricade has to be so many feet back from the ring. The barricade has to be square. You know what I mean? It's all of these different things. So I just help bridge that gap. There's just, you know, so whether it'll be, you know, like we're putting together a UK tour. So how are we doing all of these things? Not logistically, like, you know, setting up, putting up the ring, you know, booking the building, all that. But how are we getting the talent from here to there? And how are we advertising the show? What are we doing on the website? What are we doing social media wise? Let's look at all of these different things. And I've also kind of started like a rethink campaign where we sort of go department by department, and I talk to everybody and I just ask a bunch of questions. Tell me about your job. Tell me about what's worked, what hasn't worked. What are some ideas that you have?
So like
what are some
Bobs.
Action items that I can help you with?
So like the Bob.
Yes.
Place. Okay.
Business process reviews. Smart stuff.
Yeah.
Got to be
and
more efficient.
Just taking a look at some of those things, and really just, because again, been in wrestling now over 25 years, and I realized that I've learned a thing or two. I've had a lot of great people that I've worked under and for and with. So I'm stealing every good idea that I've ever heard and coming up with a couple of my own, and hopefully we can make everything in Ring of Honor work a lot better.
Excellent. And even adapting what you've learned too, to make it, you know, if we're talking about business catchphrases and terms, just you didn't steal, you adapted.
Yes. But this is just us talking, you know. I mean, we haven't rolled tape yet, so I'm just kind of telling you guys what the story is. But on the show, when we start, I'll definitely say adapted.
What's it like kind of, you know, coming up 19th, 20th, you have Death Before Dishonor weekend, and then the following weekend you have Field of Honor, which are some huge shows. Are you taking more of a role in those? And really with the New Japan talent coming in, the new Japan talent, as it were, like what's it like planning those type of shows considering the different pieces that you have? You have two offices, right? You also have not just the talent that you're familiar with, but the incoming talent as well. Like, what are the challenges that you've run into with that?
Well, you know, again, and just what are the challenges that, you know, departmentally they were dealing with already? And there are people, of course, you know, it wasn't just like nothing was getting done. But what if a lot of focus is having to be put on producing, and we have an extra pay-per-view on the calendar this year, which is a little, you know, different extra. That's coming up in September. And so there's a lot of moving pieces when you're talking about, you know, and the New Japan office is great. They're 14 hours ahead of us. And they're very organized and very understanding of us and, bend over backwards to help us and give us everything that we need. And then of course, you know, with the TV taping the very next day, 4 weeks of TV, how it all works with the TV schedule and where things are. And it's a lot of stuff that's just, it's very boring and it's very mundane, but it's all critically important. Because, you know, we're not completely tone deaf. You know, we know that there's people that have criticized the show for various reasons. You know, it's not as timely as it could be. We wish we could turn around new episodes faster. Well, I very quickly learned why it's 2 weeks before a new episode comes out, because it's a hell of a lot of work to get, you know, everything shot and then put back in and then edited and then, you know, sent out for audio and then closed captioning and all of these different things. It takes a long time. There's a lot of stuff that we understand. Hey, these are things that we could do, but, you know, okay, how can we shorten those time windows? How can we make everything seem a little bit more, you know, day of, if we will, you know, as virtually live as we possibly can get. So we're taking steps to try to do things like that.
And I'd say there's definitely been a big turnaround in terms of the VOD after actual events, you know, like house shows. There's been a much quicker turnaround on those, but like you said, the TV and the matching that up to the pay-per-view, which is matching up to shows that might be happening in Japan. Yeah, it seems like a process, and there's really only one company that's doing that kind of live TV, and you know their pockets are going to be a little bit deeper than everyone else's.
Yeah, and they've got but again, we are where we were as a company 5 years ago when Sinclair first purchased us, and where we are today. Again, the growth has been phenomenal, and every show and every opportunity gets even bigger. You know, we've got the first UK tour since 2007 that we're going to be running coming up in the month of November, the full slate of live events. We got, you know, big plans for Final Battle. We're already planning events for 2017, including a return to Japan in the month of February. So it's, you know, it's going to be very, very exciting for the fans over the next few months. There's no doubt about it.
Now, Kevin, you know, wrestling fans, as great as they can be, they can also tend to be negative at times, especially on social media. And, you know, when I engage with them, one of the things that I keep trying to reinforce is that this is a time to really be positive, because I think wrestling as a general state is probably healthier than it's been in about a decade, because there's so many options for you as a viewer, for the fan to go and pick out what they want. You know, if you don't like what one company's offering, there's other companies. So from the viewer standpoint, if I'm somebody new and I'm tired of kind of what I've been fed from some of the other promotions, what does ROH offer that might interest me?
Well, I think, and that's a great question, because I agree with you that for the fan, this is one of the best times ever, because of the number of choices that you do have. I grew up during the territory era in Florida, so I had the privilege and pleasure of not only watching championship wrestling from Florida, but also Georgia Championship Wrestling and Memphis and Bill Watts' UWF, and we got Madison Square Garden and Southwest and on and on and on. So what separates Ring of Honor is that we pride ourselves on the best wrestling, best pro wrestling on the planet. And the style that Ring of Honor is known for and has made our staple since the company's inception is now the most common style that you see. Mm-hmm. There is not a, you know, on these other variety of products. And again, the Ring of Honor style is a hybrid of, you know, Japan and Mexico and European wrestling, you know, the stars from England, the World of Sport era. It's taken from all of these different genres and has brought this presentation together, whereas old Ring of Honor really was kind of like the All-Star game. Let's put the best wrestlers available together on a show and match them up against one another and imagine how wonderful that will be. And it really was. Now it kind of blends some of the elements of an episodic television program with the best pro wrestling on the planet. The episodic nature of TV lends itself to a lot of talking and a lot of, you know, backstage skits, which we don't do. We allow the stories to be told in episodic fashion in the ring. So it really is, I think, the best blend on television of an episodic TV show and also great wrestling action.
Now, specifically coming up, you know, one thing that Brad, who is online with us and I have talked about over the last few weeks, is that these past few weeks of television leading up to Death Before Dishonor and Field of Honor have felt different. They felt more in that episodic genre. Like, there's a story each week that's being told, especially in the main event picture, where there's a story being developed. With this coming weekend, like, is there, you know, any of the matches, like any of the, like the, in terms of like the main event or with some of the stars coming in, that you're looking forward to calling, that you're looking forward to see where the story goes?
Well, in terms of at Death Before Dishonor?
Yeah, as you know, I'm kind of lumping in Death Before Dishonor, the TV tapings, and Field of Honor. It's a really compact 8 days of big shows for you guys.
Yeah,
kind of similar
it really
to the,
is.
The May shows.
There is a well, of course, you know, the main event of Death Before Dishonor is a match that a few weeks ago television viewers said, "Well, this will probably this won't happen,"
mm-hmm.
But. We found out within a couple of weeks on television and we went ahead and announced it because, you know, fans on the website aren't necessarily viewers on TV. That, you know, hey, Adam Cole is now getting a world title shot against Jay Lethal. That would be after Cole had joined Bullet Club back in May and he and the Young Bucks not only ruined Kyle O'Reilly's opportunity for the world title. Oh, they first screwed Colt Cabana out of the world title. Mm-hmm. Ruin Kyle O'Reilly, and then shave Jay Lethal's head. So, I mean, this is a group that is just such a paradox because they're wildly popular. We sell more Young Bucks and Bullet Club t-shirts than anyone else. And I think if you, I don't know this to be true, but I would venture to say all the other shirts, probably except the Briscoes, you add those all together and they probably don't equal the number of shirts that are sold for Bullet Club and the Young Bucks. It's just crazy. So they're incredible draws and the fans, they cheer for them wildly, but at the same time, they do whatever they want. They show no respect for Ring of Honor. And in years gone by, that would have found them incurring the wrath of the Ring of Honor fans because they really just kind of disrespect what ROH is all about. But so it's interesting. I find it very interesting. And I find myself supporting them because they're tremendous athletes and you can't hate on them because, you know, you disagree with their point of view. You have to appreciate, you know, what they are. But at the same time, you've got to criticize them. And Adam Cole has been just a transformation with him. But I've been so impressed with Jay Lethal, how he has transformed. The guy who was... you know, almost defiant as world champion, like there isn't anybody in my league, now found himself in a situation a couple of weeks ago on television with Kyle O'Reilly where he felt pity for another athlete. And while he beat Kyle O'Reilly and did what he had to do to win, he wasn't happy about it. So we've seen this maturation that has come with Jay Lethal as he's now surpassed 400 continuous days as Ring of Honor world champion. And he's really entering into rarefied air. He's the fourth longest reigning champion in Ring of Honor history. And if he gets past, if he makes it the final battle, he'll be, I think he will have, he definitely will have passed Bryan Danielson. He'll be getting close to Nigel McGuinness. He'll still have some work to do to catch and pass Samoa Joe. But when you look at those three names, they're first ballot Ring of Honor Hall of Famers in the mythical Hall of Fame. Jay Lethal is their equal in 2016. Mm-hmm. So it's really been great. And when you talk about the one guy that I think everybody is anticipating quietly from New Japan, possibly because we haven't seen him before, but because he's kind of an enigma, is Shibata.
Right.
Yep. He makes his Ring of Honor debut at Death Before Dishonor. He's going to be a Field of Honor wrestling the returning Kyle O'Reilly. Oh, yeah, Kyle, out with a shoulder injury. Guess what? Your first match is back. First match back is against Shibata. Holy crap. It's going to be amazing. And that main event at Field of Honor ties right into Death Before Dishonor. Because no matter who wins, Adam Cole or Jay Lethal, they're going to have to turn right around 8 days later, defend that world title in a four-corner survival match against the man they would have just beaten. So it's Adam Cole, Jay Lethal, Tetsuya Naito, the former IWGP heavyweight champion, and... Oh, yeah, just the ace of New Japan, seven-time former IWGP heavyweight champion, Hiroshi Tanahashi. So it's one fall to a finish, and it's just going to be mind-blowing.
And in such a unique arena, too.
Yeah, no other setting. I'm fingers crossed. We had the best weather last year. JR, you were there for that. And it was, I mean, what a beautiful night, right?
Yeah, it was amazing. Steve was there too.
oh, I'm sorry, I can't remember.
Talked,
but yeah, it was an awesome
upset with me.
No one's upset. We're just trying to make you feel better. It was an awesome Brad.
Here's what I'm going to ask for. I'm going to ask that Place to Be Nation staff members wear name tags.
Oh, well, we're coming up with like lanyards. You know, so it's nice and clear.
Or lanyards.
So when we scream your name and you look over, you can pick out like,
yeah,
oh, that's, you know, I've been the Steve Willie of this, you know, screaming at Kevin. So
I'm terrible with names. Like, I don't even remember my own two sons' names. Like, one of them, whose name escapes me, he turns 21 tomorrow. I'm very excited for him.
Oh, my goodness.
And the little one, who I'll just refer to as the little one, he's 9. And if my wife was here, she'd probably be able to tell me their names. Stink at names, boys. I'm sorry.
Kevin, I've called my son by my cat's name before, so I hear that. It's the age.
Yeah, definitely is the age.
Okay, Kevin, real quick, you mentioned Jay Lethal, and this is a subject that I talk about a lot of times when I'm on various shows as a black wrestling fan. And one of the things I really dig about Ring of Honor in general and Jay Lethal in particular is you've got this diverse palette of characters. And it's really refreshing to see a black world champion that does not fall into the stereotypical tropes we often find in wrestling. And you talk about the maturity of Jay Lethal and how he's just improved leaps and bounds as a worker for a guy who's still fairly young. What has been your impression of watching this young man over the years?
Well, when he came back to Ring of Honor, he was 26. And so now he's right around 30, maybe just north of 30. He came back after establishing an identity of doing impressions of other people, but he came back to Ring of Honor wanting to establish his own identity. We knew he had a high ceiling. We could not have imagined that his ceiling would be this high, and he's only getting better. So he was kind of like, you know, he's kind of like that feel in the draft that you get in the late rounds and over time just develops to become an MVP. And, you know, of all time might go down in history as the greatest champion in Ring of Honor history. Time in history will tell. But I'm proud of him. I am proud of who he is. He is a leader. He never says no when it comes to press, when it comes to autographs, when it comes to whatever. And or when it comes to pulling a younger member of the roster aside and giving critiques based upon his opinion after having watched their match, you know, and doesn't have to, but wants to, and does so in a respectful fashion and, you know, is encouraging, views himself as a true locker room leader and lives by leads by example, and certainly it's just been great to see. It's wonderful.
All right. I think you stunned everyone silent, Kevin.
What?
That was a great dramatic pause right there.
Well, it was very dramatic, everyone.
We'll cut that.
Well, I shut up and I waited for somebody else to talk.
I think
was
we were
all
soaking it in. It was such a well-spoken soliloquy.
I'll speak to it real quick. Jay Lethal is my favorite Kevin Kelly Show guest ever, and I encourage everyone. We also put it up on YouTube if you want to listen to the interview. You can find it through our YouTube channel.
He's the man. Jer, who is your favorite Kevin Kelly Show guest?
I think there's no doubt. It's the man that we pulled off the trampoline just for that one special.
Yeah.
The elusive Dennis Stamp. We had Dennis fucking Stamp on the podcast.
Before Cole Cabana did, too.
Yeah, right. Screw that guy.
Well, hey, I think we put him on the map, put him back on the map.
We did. We got him relevant.
And it was, did you talk to him or did I talk to him beforehand? I think, or
you
did both of us?
No, you did.
Okay. I wish you guys could have heard the phone conversation because all it was, hey, Dennis, this is Kevin. I want to thank you for responding to the email. Just kind of wanted to talk with you briefly. Make sure you're still interested in doing the show. And I got all of the elements of the interview right then and there. And I kept saying, well, just talk about it on the show. You know, how about if I read you a poem? I mean, no lie. The same guy, that was not an act on the show, fellas, because it was just he and I talking. And
off
he
air,
was.
Off air, after he hung up, he read like five more poems. Remember, he kept going?
Yeah, that was, are you guys having that? What's your name? Cameron. That's it. Thank you. My youngest came up and reminded me of his name. Thank you very much. Go ahead. Take them downstairs. Do what you're doing. He's having a sleepover, so he's getting refreshments.
It's funny because we're having one too. Me, Steve, Nate, we're in the same room right now. We're all
good.
Sleeping bags.
Oh, sleeping.
Anyway,
he was incredible. And was great. I always loved when we had Dr. Tom on, because he always kind of level set you, you know. That was good. And just he and I have been friends for so long, you know, it's kind of like the act that we do on the phone when we're just talking to each other. We just brought it to the show.
Underrated was a coked up, out of his mind Brian Blair.
That's when I was thinking about.
Wow. He's a political figure, is he not? I mean, he's held political office.
Yeah, he was out of his mind night, though, with the Hazel's honey and all that stuff. That was
he was shot out of a cannon. I don't know what was going on. Oh, it'll be Brian Blair. And the one I was worried about, but really turned out to be like a cool interview, was Dan Spivey.
Yes.
I thought, I was like, ooh, I'm not so sure about this guy, but Spivey's wife, and fans go back and listen to the interview. You'll hear a guy that's really honest. We got a lot of great honesty out of everybody, which I thought was cool. Mm-hmm. We got a real honest guy telling his story, which was really personal, and how he's working with his generation of athletes. So retired wrestlers, when they get beyond the ring, and also when they are done with rehab. So if you get out of drug rehabilitation, and not just wrestlers too, but others as well. And so he really told that story, but his wife worked with me in the WWF office. In fact, that's where they met. And so now they're married, and she's written a book and doing all kinds of stuff, really, and just trying to help people. So it was just cool being able to talk to Spivey, who I wasn't sure what we were going to get, and it just wound up being this really just rich, this deep story that had all kinds of just layers to it. Could have gone on for much longer than we did.
Of course, don't forget, we had AJ Styles before he got relevant again.
I'll remind him of that when he's, making his WWE Hall of Fame speech. So.
Right. Remember where he was when he quit TNA and was a man lost. We brought him in.
Yeah.
Relaunched his career.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Kevin, for joining us. It was great as always. We appreciate it very much. We hope to have you back here since you're not doing your own show. We can have you on Clotheslines and Headlines to talk Ring of Honor every couple months or so. And before you know it, you'll be narrating our Christmas special yet again in December. That is part of your eternal contract that automatically rolls over every year. You can't get out of that one.
Don't tell Brad. Turn down his earphones. I would do that for free.
There you go. See?
That's the most fun I have. All right, you can turn his headset back up.
Never doing that again.
Yes. See, Kevin loves it. It's his favorite thing. All right. That's it. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We're going to talk some Raw, some SmackDown, some SummerSlam, and still to come, of course, Brad Stutz and Chad Campbell talking Scenic City Invitational. Steve's going to go talk to his son, Ruggles the Cat. We'll be back after this break. Take care. Not take care. Stand by. Place of Nations, Justin Rosero here. In addition to the Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceofNations.com. And we now offer them to you on two great feeds as well. On the Place to Be podcast feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with clotheslines and headlines, main event, Mission Indie Possible, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on WWE, NXT, and Ring of Honor Super Shows. Relive Wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse and the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling Podcast as we dive into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. We also have sports covered too with the Sports Lounge, the TJ McClune Show, and NBA Team Podcast. On our brand new PTB Pop podcast feed, we offer great shows such as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both feeds on iTunes and be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All these shows are available on PlaceNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to check out the right-hand side of the site for details on how to support the site when you shop at Amazon and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island and Fall River, Massachusetts, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
New York to the heart, but got love for all. Lying, die in the fire where I learned the ball. Uptown is the place where I lay my dome. On the streets of the Bronx where my family roam. Oh, damn it, we home. Heater got a 9mm. Player haters can feel the flame from my heater.
We are back on Clothesline and Headlines. Godfather, Steve, JR, you know who it is, and you know what we do. And we're going to talk some WWE in this segment because for the past 2 weeks, they've given us choices. And much like the words of great 90s rap group Black Sheep once said, the choice is yours. You can get with this or you can get with that. And just judging off the first 2 weeks, guys, I think I'm going to go with Raw because Raw is where it's at.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like this week I thought SmackDown was a little bit better, honestly. Not that Raw was bad. I think the shows have definitely been refreshed. Like, there's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
They've both been watchable. I think there was a lot of hand-wringing around the Monday-Tuesday thing. Like, oh, back-to-back nights. But it's kind of been refreshing because you're feeling it after Raw now and you kind of roll right into SmackDown. And then you get a break. And there's still NXT and other stuff. But from the main product, you get this lull now that lets you kind of, you know, be excited for the next week. And that was something a lot of people talked about way back when SmackDown first debuted, was, oh, you're killing that excitement from Raw to Raw, that whole week build, you know, we can't wait for another Raw. We kind of have that again, because now we're off of the main product all the way till next Monday, and it's only Wednesday. So it's kind of a nice, I think it has a better cadence to it, to have the two live shows back-to-back, especially with them competing. Now, I don't think this could have worked if they didn't do the brand split. I think if the shows were the same and you had a Monday, Tuesday, I think we'd be feeling a lot differently. What do you think, Steve? What's been your feeling of kind of the cadence of the shows like this?
Well, I think, first of all, like, my wife is upstairs, and if you want to talk to her about the Sunday of Battleground, Monday of the first Raw, Tuesday of the first SmackDown, and how that went in our household, it didn't go well. So with that, I did step back and, you know, for the sanctity of my own marriage and being a father of my cats and children.
Mr. Ruggles,
that, you know, I did have to step a little bit back from SmackDown. The 3 days in a row killed us.
You're here for a brand split, not a marriage split.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, the good thing with these shows, though, With the accessibility of these days, is you don't have to watch it right away. I mean, you go Hulu the next day. There's different apps. Like, I was watching it on an app on my iPad. I was watching SmackDown while we were watching TV last night. So, you know, you can kind of monitor as you're going. It's so much accessibility these days. Even with the back-to-back nights, you can still spread it if you need to.
Oh, sure. And I really just did it to help out our good friend Scott on that other main event show that we do around here. But I do think in terms of the – not just the cadence between the shows, but the cadence within the show, and it'll be interesting to see if this continues, that the shows flow better than they did before the brand split. And they did talk about wanting to change the presentation a little bit, and I thought that was just going to be lip service. And I thought especially the first week when you just saw, well, there's a little bit of a logo change, but really the, you know, the Raw set looks almost exactly the same. I thought it was going to be lip service. And then you start seeing a little bit different, not just with like a placement of a table, but the thing that stuck out this past week was you had the continuance of the Cesaro Sheamus brawl, and they kind of flowed into the next segment of Heath Slater in the middle of the ring with Jinder Mahal. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, it's not just commercial match. Someone flies outside of the ring and they're laying outside the ring. Oh, we got to take a break. Come back. End of match. Come back, you know, backstage with Steph and Hunter, you know, like match again. It's not that same flow. It's a little bit different. And I can appreciate that because even when you've been doing something for so many years, you need to keep it fresh, as, you know, we were kind of talking to Kevin about earlier.
And even on week one of Raw, wasn't there, did they do one long, I'm trying to think of what segment it was, like a long continuous shot of something where they never stopped the camera? Like it was one of those big walking shots that flowed into like multiple things. I'm drawing a blank right now what it was, but I know they were getting praised for it. But yeah, the stuff like that. And even the SmackDown, you know, Nate, what have you thought so far of the SmackDown camera angles? Like they really have been mixing things up with that kind of up and over angle and really kind of doing different things with the overall presentation of the show.
Yes, they have been doing some interesting things with the presentation of the shows. I kind of think it comes across as more effective on Raw, just because, to be honest, Raw was the more stale of the two shows.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because SmackDown had a little bit of a freshen up at the beginning of the year with Mauro Ranallo coming on to the commentary table, but Raw was still pretty much the same show we've seen for the last 5, 10, 15 years. So I think the little changes maybe look a bit more effective on Raw, and the fact that we have to watch that set for 3 hours as opposed to 2 hours, I think plays into it a little bit. In terms of SmackDown, I think they've made some positive steps forward, but to me, their biggest hindrance up to this point is still going to be their roster. Mm. You know, to use some more hip-hop phraseology, if you will, I'll take some words from Jay-Z in the TakeOver. We don't believe you. You need more people. because I think, you know, they've got a good little core, but it's a very thin roster at this point. And obviously, they're going to bring some people up through NXT. They might do some trades, things of that nature, bring in some outside free agents. But I think they're going to have to work twice as hard, I think, to be as, I'm not going to say as good as Raw, because I think SmackDown's been a good show these first 2 weeks. But I think to be as impactful as Raw, because Raw is the show that seems to, even now, after the brand split, get the lion's share of the bells and whistles. You know, they're going to have the cruiserweights added on to it. They've got the women's division, or the good women's division, mm-hmm. pretty much on lockdown. You know, they seem to have, you know, your groups like the New Day or Enzo and Cass. You know, they seem to have a more robust tag division. So I hope that SmackDown continues to move forward. But just look at the two number one contenders that we saw this past week. I liked what they did with Dolph Ziggler, especially yesterday on SmackDown. But it's night and day comparing a guy that has been stuck in a role through no fault of his own. But he's been stuck in a role that the fans really can't get behind him. But then you look at the other show, and they're promoting the hell out of Finn Balor. Mm-hmm. It's night and day in terms of the excitement level. So I think both shows, after 2 weeks, are improved from what they were. But I would say, if we're going to say what's the show that you kind of can't miss each week, as much as I love Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles and even John Cena, who cut maybe one of the best promos of his career last night, I'd have to give the edge to Raw right now.
I think one of the fallacies, too, that we all bought into was how angry everyone was after the draft, thinking SmackDown got hosed, when we really should have looked at it up front from the beginning and said, in reality, Raw's 3 hours, SmackDown's two. They were never going to make the rosters even. They just weren't, because you need to fill so much more time on Raw.
Sure.
And as the draft was going, everyone's like, oh my God, all these mid-carders are going to Raw. No one's going to SmackDown. And I feel like the light bulb didn't really go off in people's heads until later. Like, oh, wait a minute. They have a lot more time to fill on Raw than they do on SmackDown. And I think that's why they kind of, you know, front-loaded SmackDown with the big names, because when you look at the top of the card, it is pretty strong. I mean, you know, Randy Orton, John Cena, Dean Ambrose, AJ Styles. Like, that's a pretty good top four. Like, you know, and they're doing their best to build up Dolph Ziggler. And I thought they've done a great job, because they're acknowledging his backstory. They're letting him talk. And I thought the overall direction and presentation of SmackDown was very honest. Like the way they were talking about, you know, letting these guys almost feel, and maybe they are, I don't know, feel a little bit like they're going off script a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Like it certainly felt that way. And I don't know if you guys watched Talking Smack with Renee Young after. It was really well done. And even during the show, those cut-ins they did were really well done. Dolph's interview with her after the show felt like really from the heart and explained quite a bit. You know, I thought they've done a nice job. Now, you know, you can gripe, and our buddy Brian Bayless did in his review about how they closed the show with Bray kind of getting his heat back on Dolph. And I don't know. I mean, it didn't really necessarily bother me because whatever, like Dolph is Dolph. Like, sure, he's been built up real well, but he's not all of a sudden going to become a world beater because he's being presented as, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, we've seen Dolph Ziggler wrestle now for what, 8 years? Like, we know who he is and what he is. That doesn't mean he can't be more serious and get on a run, but that also doesn't mean he's going to be Goldberg, that he's going to be invincible now because all of a sudden he's in the title picture. I mean we know the any human being would look at this guy and be like, oh, all of a sudden he's unbeatable, like where did that come from? Like, no, he's just gaining momentum and winning big matches. That doesn't mean he can't ever get beat up, you know. And I thought, I mean, Brian made good points, but that was just kind of my take on it. Like, he's not all of a sudden invincible. He's a guy that's winning the matches he needs to win to move up the card. He can still get his ass kicked here and there, and it's not going to make him look like shit.
And they have to also look forward after what, you know, happens with Dolph and Dean Ambrose. You have to look forward, okay, where are they going to go next? Instead of just cut, here's a show, cut, restart a story. Cut at the next pay-per-view, start a new story. You need to start planting those seeds. And that's, you know, after 2 weeks, I have a hard time judging too harshly anything. I feel like you need to have it play out for a couple months before you can make a final decision. I'll stay pop culture current with that movie Suicide Squad, which is coming out on Friday. And there are people ready to hang critics because of their reviews in the movie, and they haven't even seen the movie yet. You got to give a little bit more time than that for being some flesh out and see what's actually going to happen before you negatively judge something.
I mean, I can say though, Steve, it's already going to be better than Batman versus Superman. If for nothing else, in my mind, I've already created some fan fiction that Deadshot is really just Hancock. And so this is Hancock part two. Hancock gets suicidal.
I have no idea what any of that means.
You never saw Hancock with Will Smith?
No.
Oh, man.
I was trying to think of some kind of John Hancock joke, but I went blank.
Hancock was a...
Hancock? That's what I was looking for. That's it.
Hancock was the Dolph Ziggler of superhero movies. Like, it had some talent, but for whatever reason, it just couldn't get past that glass ceiling.
A comic book movie based on no comic book.
Well, you and I'll start our own Hancock podcast, Steve.
There we go.
But in terms of judging the shows after the first 2 weeks, the things that I do like about SmackDown are that it seems to be the show of opportunity. You know, this past week we saw the debut of American Alpha.
Yes.
I thought they presented those guys like real stars. And so I guess my only gripe would be that I wish we had more of that, you know, and I wish that, you know, when we had the Heath Slater segment last week, instead of Rhino, it was actually somebody who was fresh and I don't want to say relevant because that's a little too harsh, but somebody that's kind of moving the ball forward instead of this is a guy we've seen. Like, even if you don't watch NXT, you've seen Rhino within the past 5 years.
He might have been kicking over the plant in your hotel lobby, but you saw him. he may be gone soon anyway. He won his primary, Republican primary or whatever in Michigan. So,
you know who his running mate's going to be?
Jordan Duncan.
Al Gore. low hanging fruit. I had to take it.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Anyway, so he may be gone. We'll see. What do you guys think of the Randy Orton Brock Lesnar stuff? I thought it's a match that a lot of people kind of didn't get into when it was announced. Just kind of on the internet, you know, blogs and Twitter and whatnot, they seemed kind of meh on it. But I feel like they've actually done a really good job, and a lot of that sits on Randy Orton's shoulders. Like, he's been really entertaining since he's come back with this kind of awesome, I don't need to prove it to anyone. I'm just going to come out here and have a good time. Randy Orton, where, you know, like, I thought he's been really engaging, and his RKO out of nowhere on Lesnar on Monday was great.
Yes.
And I think they're going to have a really good match. Like, Randy Orton is super underrated at this point. He's just very undervalued. I think him and Lesnar are going to go out there and they will put on a very, very good match.
Well, I think it's two things, guys. And you can let me know what you think about this. I think on the one hand, they're finally doing what they should have done maybe a year or two ago with Orton and focusing everything around the RKO, because that's when the memes were happening. And then, you know, the RKOs out of nowhere started to pop up on social media. And Randy Orton was a big deal. And for whatever reason, they decided to, you know, have him fight the Authority, then rejoin the Authority and all this other stuff.
Make a movie right there in the height of the thing.
Right. And so they never really capitalized on it. And I think this time they figured out what they did wrong and they're going with what works. The other thing is, I think for maybe some of the hardcore fans, the fact that Brock got popped by the UFC and doesn't have the benefit of being brought in as this conquering hero, because then that would open the door to more questions. It kind of makes you question the outcome of the match. Whereas if I think had Brock beaten Mark Hunt clean and there were no PED issues, it'd be a foregone conclusion that Randy was just kind of somebody that they were going to feed to the beast. But now I'm like, I have no idea who's going to win this. I would still think that you go with Brock because you have more invested in him. But just judging by the reactions, Randy Orton is pretty damn over.
No, I agree. I mean, I still think Brock has to win only because I think Orton can shake off the loss. Whereas Brock, you really going to make his losses count at this point, you know? And I'm guessing he ends up staying around even longer now because he's done with UFC. So,
right,
you know, there was a chance he may go for a prolonged run with UFC and maybe he'd be, you know, closing in on his final days with WWE. But I think he's there to stay now. It depends how much they keep renewing him, but I don't think he's leaving anytime soon. I think we'll see more of him, if anything else. I still think he wins because I just don't, as much as Orton's been really, really good and, you know, the clock is ticking on him physically. So who knows how long he's going to be around anyway. I think you're going to make the next Brock loss really, really count with someone that you're prepping for something big.
And we're going to be at the same, they're going to be at the same building where they had that screwy finish with the Undertaker last year. Which kind of confused the live crowd. You're not going to want to do that twice in a row. I was thinking originally, hey, you can have some sort of just the two of them destroying each other. But to do that in the same building at the same event 2 years in a row, you might need a cleaner finish.
Yeah, plus if you're going to have a silly, oversized, outlandish new title for Raw, you might as well put it on the silly, oversized, outlandish wrestler named Brock Lesnar.
Right. What do you guys think of do you think that's going to main event the show?
I'm torn between Rollins, Balor, and Brock and Randy. Like, I could see them going either way. You'd think that with the actual, you know, maybe because it's a Raw guy and a SmackDown guy, they might do that. I could see, like, the kayfabe reason for that, like the arguing between Shane and Stephanie over which title gets the main event. So we'll just do the main event with the co-brand.
Yeah, I could definitely see that, too. Although I would think Styles Cena is more of a main event, right?
Oh, yeah. To me, that might be one of the best matches on the card. But I do think it's not as important for whatever reason as the other matches. It's interesting because I think right now, between the top four matches, you've got, to use Stephanie McMahon's terminology, a lot of B-plus matches. Mm-hmm. Like, they're really interesting matches, but I don't think any one of them really screams SummerSlam main event, you know, because Finn and Seth, that's going to be a great match. But
right. The card is awesome.
I mean, the card
is phenomenal.
We don't have the build for Shane and Finn, Seth and Finn, Ziggler and Ambrose, same story. You know, this is a story that we've only known about for 2 weeks. So it feels like, man, they kind of worked themselves into a corner doing the brand split this close to SummerSlam. So I'm thinking Brock's still probably your biggest star on the card. So that might close the show, even though I think you've got better options.
I'm definitely far more excited about this year's show than I was about last year's show.
And last year's show ended up being pretty good, so the fear now is that this one will let down as you go in. But, I mean, the card really is shaping up nicely. You know, Orton, Lesnar,
You know what?
Cena, Styles, yeah.
I just had a thought. If they really wanted to be real about it, the match to me that's been built the best, but it won't main event, but you could make an argument that it should, is Sasha Charlotte.
Yeah, that would be a statement, right? If they close with that, that'd be pretty nuts. I think they'll test a women's main event on another show, like with these single brand shows, before they were to do like the second biggest show of the year. I mean, I think you're right. I think it could. I don't think they pull the trigger at SummerSlam. I think it's more likely to happen on like a Raw pay-per-view where they can test the waters of doing it. It wouldn't shock me if it happens in the next 12 months, though. Now, especially with what they're building with Sasha. But yeah, I mean, the top of this SummerSlam card is really, really good. So it'll be interesting to see how things play out. Like we said, in a couple weeks, we'll have a full preview overall. What do you guys think so far of the new commentary? Do you feel like it's improved overall? Do you like JBL with Mauro, or do you feel like he's still dragging things down? And what do you think of how Graves has been on Raw so far?
I think Graves has been a welcome addition. I think it's been on this show that I said it. I'm not a big fan of the bullying of Byron Saxton, and Corey did that quite a bit on NXT, and I think he just you got to pull back a little bit on that. Make it at least somewhat of an equal playing field for the three of them. I feel like Michael Cole's a little bit rejuvenated, and having some fresh guys in there. He's the elder statesman now, and they're two young guys with him. And Mauro, such a pro that in terms of SmackDown, I think that he's going to have a good riff on JBL if he doesn't let JBL overpower him. David Otunga, I don't know. I just haven't heard enough of him yet to really make an informed opinion.
He's like Bruno back in the days where he like barely talked, just like talks during the replays or something. What do you think of the commentary?
I really like the Raw commentary team now. Like, I think to Steve's point about Corey Graves, I do think he could ease up on Byron a little bit. But my bigger issue in that dynamic is Michael Cole not checking him on it. And in some cases joining in with it, where I think, the dynamic should be you've got Graves as this kind of dickish young heel commentator. You've got Byron as the straight-laced babyface commentator, and Cole should be the grown-up in the room almost. But I do like the dynamic between the three of them. I think it really helps out Raw. In terms of SmackDown, I think if they really wanted to be different, they'd go to a two-man booth with just Mauro and JBL. Mm-hmm. I have no problem with David Otunga as a human being, and he's actually like a really good ambassador for the company, does a lot of the Make-A-Wish stuff and things of that nature. But commentary is not for everybody, man. Just because, you look good in the suit doesn't mean you can speak well on the microphone. And I don't think he adds anything to the broadcast. So I'd ditch Otunga, and just go with a two-man booth on SmackDown. But I'd say overall, the commentary is better. And I think it's a shakeup that needed to happen. And as much as I dug Jerry Lawler at his peak, at his prime, we were probably a good decade outside of that.
And so,
him being off of the broadcast really doesn't hurt the shows, in my opinion.
No, agreed. And I think there's of the six, I think there's good money that Otunga will be the first to disappear. And I wouldn't shock me if they go to just Mauro and JBL in the near future. I would say by the end of the year, I think Otunga will be either replaced or just the two-man booth. All right, so we got a few minutes left here in this segment. Let's quickly turn to NXT because it's a show obviously beloved by many. But as we've seen, a lot of the talent being promoted, and I think more is to come. So where does this, where are we getting an influx of talent to replace what's left? Is what is there, able to kind of keep the magic rolling? Do we see a mix of guys from the Cruiserweight Classic? Some head to Raw for the Cruiser division, some go to NXT. Like, where are we getting the talent refresh from? And does a guy like Samoa Joe just kind of stay there? Like, everyone keeps wondering when he's going to come up to the main roster, but does he ever? Like, does he just stay as the ace of NXT? Because he's kind of needed there more than anything right now. Like, or is he due a run? Does everyone do a run? Or can NXT be a place where some guys just a career minor leaguer, is to say, and that's not to downplay Joe. That's to say he's a veteran presence that's kind of needed there to stabilize that product. versus, you know, kind of getting lost in the upper card on SmackDown. Now, I'm not saying he shouldn't eventually come up, because there's some dream matches there, him and AJ Styles, him and John Cena, matches you want to have. But how, when does that happen, and do they delay as long as they can until they restock? What do you think, Steve?
Well, I think they're starting to restock a little bit. There is one of Brother Nate's guys is on this week's edition. I don't want to spoil anything for anyone who hasn't seen it yet. And I do think that they're, you know, Kota Ibushi was on last week from the Cruiserweight Classic, and it feels like they're signing and taking a look at more and more of these guys from the CWC and bringing them up. Where they end up, whether it's going to be as part of a showcase on Raw, whether they're going to shift some people to NXT, I think that remains to be seen. But you're only dealing with an hour show. So this is a state of flux, but you have a lot of people who are at the Performance Center who haven't even made their way onto TV yet. And this is, you know, within even just a couple months ago, they were doing two different shows on the same day. They'd have their touring NXT brand. They'd have their one that was more kind of local to Florida. So there's people down there. It's just a matter of finding the right combination of established veteran stars, kind of your mainstays on NXT, like a Bayley, for instance, who's been there for a couple of years, making those characters, and then, you know, rolling in fresh, younger talent, both from the Performance Center, people you haven't seen before, and then people from outside of the organization.
How about you, Nate?
I'm going to use your minor league analogy, JR, and say, you know, if you had a major league caliber player that is knocking the ball out of the park week after week, would you keep him down in the minors? No, you wouldn't, because the priority is the major league club. And as much as we all love NXT, as much as the fans love NXT, at the end of the day, it's a developmental territory. And I think it's time for guys like Joe. It's time for guys like Nakamura. It's time for people like Bayley, Austin Aries, even Asuka in a little bit, to come on up, because I think you can have veterans down there, but to me, the veterans that should be in NXT are the veterans that are on their way down. You know, if you've got a career major leaguer, to use our baseball analogy, that's been in the big leagues for 10, 15 years, and he's on his way out, or he's hurt, and he's down in the minors, that's one thing. But if a guy is still productive, he should be where the club needs him the most. So I think it's time, man, because had they done that, had they brought up, you know, it doesn't have to be this mass exodus, but give me a couple guys. Had they done that and brought up, say, a Nakamura to SmackDown, and or a Joe to SmackDown, or Aries to SmackDown, or Bobby Roode, I think you'd have less of the at least aesthetic issue that I think a lot of the fans are having with SmackDown, in that it looks like the rosters are lopsided.
So you don't think it makes more sense, though, to maybe stagger them? Like, the SmackDown pay-per-view, only pay-per-view, is still over a month away. So maybe their thought is, let's get through SummerSlam, let's get through NXT Brooklyn, and then kind of restock SmackDown in time for their pay-per-view. Like, it wouldn't shock me if right after Brooklyn we see Samoa Joe, because, you know, odds are I'm thinking he loses to Nakamura, unless Nakamura puts him over and then leaves. So, I mean, one of those guys, I think, goes to SmackDown.
I think one of them has to, and right. I agree. Like, NXT Brooklyn should really be a end of one chapter and the beginning of another.
Right.
And I think, you know, again, part of the problem that we talked about with guys like, you know, Baron Corbin or Apollo Crews or even Nia Jax or someone like Braun Strowman, even though, you know, they're giving them these great little squash matches on Raw week after week now, there's a lot of people that are on the main roster that could have done with some seasoning. And so it's like, man, you know, I think they've got to take advantage of all their assets. And while they want to protect NXT, and I think Triple H in particular wants to keep that brand strong, because whenever the old man finally leaves this mortal coil so we can go book up in heaven or down in hell, depending on which elevator he's going to take, Triple H is going to want to be able to put his stamp on the company. But by the same token, man, I think it's almost like cutting off your nose to spite your face, because you got to make both of these brands strong, because they're the ones that are generating the money. They're bringing in the income. They're bringing in the revenue. And NXT, if you've got, you know, it's an hour show, like Steve said. So if you've got four or five really great talents and then a bunch of people that are green as baby poop, that's okay, because that's what it's there for.
bigger crush, Nate Milton on Nia Jax, Brad Woodling on Joe Koff? All right, why don't we take a break? We'll be talking lots more WWE in a couple weeks, like I said, for our big SummerSlam preview show coming up. We are going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have with us our friend Chad Campbell, our buddy Brad Stutz, talking Scenic City Invitational, talking a little Japan perhaps, and we'll see what else it pulls on and headlines takes us to. So until then, we'll be right back.
Popping peas and coughs quaff.
This is Parv, and I'm here to tell you to listen and subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation podcast network. That's the PWO PTBN podcast network, where you'll find a ton of in-depth shows done by hardcore fans. We've got Chris Zellner's 1-2 Punch of Exile on Bad Street, and with David Bickenspan, a smash hit Between the Sheets. We've got Wrestling Culture with Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave, Goodwill Wrestling and the Reaction Shows with Good Old Will from Texas. We got This Week in Wrestling with my man Pete and Johnny Sorrow, Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston's Pro Wrestling Super Show, Tag Teams Back Again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze, and a ton of other great shows too. And of course, there's Titans of Wrestling and Where the Big Boys Play with yours truly and some dude from down south called Chad. PWO, PTBN, Podcast Network.
Who waited for the worst, cause the best in Crosstown. Who never planned on having so dick.
All right, we are back here, episode number 4, Clotheslines and Headlines, and we are very excited because we're going to be doing exclusive coverage of the Scenic City Invitational, and with us are two very key members of that little tournament that will be going down this week. And, of course, first joining us is the biggest fan, perhaps. He's traveling, going out on the road to go to the Scenic City Invitational. That is our friend Chad Campbell. Chad, how are you?
Doing good.
Now, are you an insider here, or are you just going strictly as a fan?
Strictly as a fan. No affiliation. I'm a free agent at the SCI, baby. Not gonna have a merch booth like some other people. Well.
he's gonna have the button down on. He's going to have the jeans on. He'll be ready to go. And also
bringing the Mizzes. Bringing the Mizzes, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, first wrestling show ever.
Jeez. That's right. Exciting. We may have to have her on here for a full report, I think.
That'll make a couple of people happy.
Right. Also with us from the streets of Charlotte somewhere out there, God knows what's going on, but he is the booker, the promoter, the man behind the CWF, and, of course, the man who will be doing commentary for the Scenic City Invitational, Mr. Bradley Stutz. Brad, how are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's FanFest weekend, one of the biggest weekends for wrestling in the Carolinas. Road Warrior Animal, Arn Anderson, dozens more stars from the 80s, 90s, and today are here all weekend long. I'm here tonight and tomorrow before I hop in the car Friday to head to Chattanooga for the Scenic City Invitational. So a huge weekend, and quite frankly, no two places I would rather be than FanFest right now and the Scenic City Invitational on Friday and Saturday.
I feel like we have Lee Marshall. I feel like we have
great weekend for wrestling.
I feel like we have Lee Marshall on the phone from the next Nitro Road Report. That's what it feels like.
they're grilling up Weasel at the FanFest.
All right, Chad, take it away. Talk some SEI with us. You and Brad.
All right, Brad. So I think just kind of an overview for the SCI this year is last year it got some good buzz. It was the first year of the tournament. And this year, what I like what they've done is last year there was a couple of outsiders. Moose was there last year. But this year they've managed to, in my opinion, kind of up the ante a little bit. Kongo Kong was also there last year. But they've got Chris Hero and Matt Riddle as kind of the two big kind of outsiders, along with Leo Rush. I don't think you can forget about that. Also a very hyped rookie out there. But then they've also kind of kept their roots in the Georgia Indies, too. A lot of Drew Delight, Wild Billy Buck, some Michael Judas. So I guess just kind of overall, what are you looking forward to the most being there Friday and Saturday night?
I think I'm really looking forward to just getting around an atmosphere and a vibe that expresses and presents and is all about a true love of independent wrestling and a love for what we do. Quite frankly, that is what drove me to want to be part of it. That is what, you know, just seeing, you know, the fans and the staff and the wrestlers just be so excited about this event and about putting a spotlight on wrestling in that part of the country, I think is so exciting because, you know, I've lived that very, very recently where at CWF Mid-Atlantic, we've been, you know, toiling away at sometimes, you know, over the past 16 years where we've just been grinding away and feeling like, you know, God, people don't appreciate the magic that is created here in the Carolinas. And just in the past couple of years, that stigma has started to be erased. And you've seen a lot of guys break out of the South and out of the Carolinas and make national and international waves. So I've lived through what that feels like, and I'm so excited to be on board for a group of courteous, kind professionals who are putting in the work to organize a huge event, trying to do the same thing wrestling in their area. More than any particular match, although I think we're going to see some incredible matches, I'm really excited to see, you know, Matt Riddle against some new opponents and see how Matt Riddle meshes into that sort of Southern style. I'm super excited to see John Skyler, who in my opinion is one of the top 10 unsigned people in the world right now. I'm super excited to see him against Jimmy Ray. There's going to be some great matches, but more than any particular match, I'm just so excited to be a part of just this concentrated effort to spotlight wrestling in the Chattanooga area and put eyeballs on the great talent that everyone has cultivated for this event.
Yeah, John Skyler, now he is someone that I was not familiar with till this year. And when I've been watching him in PWX when he had his championship run, I've really been impressed with what I've seen from him this year. He's just a great, you know, has a persona, but can also work a variety of styles. I think that's the opening match of the whole weekend, him versus Jimmy Rave. I think that'll be a very good, strong match right out of the gate.
Actually the one of the first round matches. That's the one I was most looking forward to, and that's going to kick us off. So I'm right. Super excited about that. Yeah, I can't say enough good things about John Skyler. I've said it to his face, and I've said it on commentary. I think John Skyler is a wrestling genius. The only thing that I can kind of compare it to is if you watch any of those WWE Network shows. Any of those documentaries where people talk about Edge and they talk about how, you know, he was just so smart and how he was so creative and how he knew his voice and his character and putting together a segment or putting together a match. I think it was John Cena that said he was like the Einstein of WWE. That is who I would compare John Skyler to, from having worked closely with him, just so, so sharp. So just wise beyond his years as far as structuring any kind of piece of business. So, I mean, he's someone that honestly, I hope he goes far in the tournament because I would love to see him wrestle, you know, multiple times through that weekend against a variety of opponents. He'll have to survive the man who won this tournament last year in the first round to do so. But I would love to see John Skyler fight through multiple rounds and see him matched up against, you know, a Leo Rush or against a Matt Riddle or against a Kyle Matthews or any of those. I think there's so many unique, exciting matchups possible this weekend in Chattanooga.
Yeah, yeah. I think any way that a lot of these matches turn on that one, I think either Corey Hollis or Matt Riddle, whoever wins that match, and also Anthony Henry versus Leo Rush. Those three matches, either way, whoever comes out victorious in the first round, those second round matchups on Saturday, there's a lot of possibilities. It should be a lot of fun. So now, what did Stutzy? What is going to be kind of your official role for the weekend? Some commentary work and
yes, sir. It is my understanding that a commentary dream team has been assembled worthy of this tournament. Just as they have brought wrestlers in from all over the country, they brought commentators in from all over the country. Myself from the Carolinas, my buddy MLJ from the Combat Zone up in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. And of course, you know, there's great, great voices of wrestling there in the area. Al Getz, Dan Wilson. So it's going to be cool to, I very much like the tournament. I'll get to work with some people that I've never worked with before in calling these tournament matches. So, you know, it's rare that, you know, my experience is going to be very much like that of the people involved in the tournament. I don't necessarily know who I'm calling the next match with or how well we'll mesh. So that's going to be a fun challenge for me as well, coming off, you know, some great partners that I'm comfortable working with, that I'm accustomed to working with in the Carolinas. I'll be working with some guys I've never met before also. So it's a similar experience to the tournament. But, yeah, I'm in the booth both nights, different combinations. I understand we're going to be swapping out throughout the two nights. And I'm super excited. I'm super, super excited. It's my first time doing anything in the Chattanooga area in 16 years of doing this. So, and you know, not to toot my own horn, but I think that speaks volumes to the level of interest that has been generated for this event, that, you know, someone like myself is so eager and excited to be there. Someone like MLJ from Pennsylvania, New Jersey is so excited to be there. And Chris Hero, who we haven't touched on yet, and just, you know, Matt Riddle, who's a young man that's making waves in our industry in his, you know, what is this, his rookie year, his sophomore year? So many people that are going to be in this area for the first time ever, and it's literally, it's just trying to rejuvenate this venue and this event and these guys and shine the biggest light possible on them. And to me, that's a beautiful part of independent wrestling, is when you can be part of something like that.
Yeah, I kind of 2 points off of what you just said. One, I know the SEI in some ways is sort of a spiritual successor to the old Ted Petty Invitational from IWA Mid-South. And just on the commentary track, that was one thing that I always loved with IWA Mid-South, is you would have Dave Prazak and kind of the list of wrestlers that would come in, CM Punk, Colt Cabana, Chris Hero kind of joining in on commentary. So that is something I'm really looking forward when I do watch this on tape, is kind of that, I guess, that buffet line of announcers that will constantly be tagging in and out with each other. Now, the second one, and this can be kind of our last point, is on Matt Riddle and then Chris Hero. So Matt Riddle, I try to stay away from hyperbole in kind of the Twitter universe we're living in wrestling right now. But Matt Riddle may possibly be the best wrestler I've ever seen in his first probably 15, 18 months in the business. He's that good. And I've watched a lot of Jun Akiyama in like 92 and 93. He is just amazing. Had a lot of variety of opponents in Evolve and really excelled in that area. And now Chris Hero is possibly, now Matt Riddle to me is a top five wrestler this year in the world, worldwide. Chris Hero right now is my number one, and he's fighting that spot with somebody you're very familiar with, Brad, and Trevor Lee, who is currently my number two. Chris Hero has just been amazing this year in Evolve, in Europe, kind of been all over the globe, and so it's really exciting to see him come down and work a Southern style match, which Chris Hero's a student of the game. You know he's going to be just relishing in a crowd like that and working in that environment, and I expect it to be some standout performances in the two nights with him wrestling there.
No, I think you're absolutely on the right track. I think
your praise of both those guys is completely justified. Matt Riddle, I saw for the first time the weekend of the Royal Rumble. I was in Florida, so I got the chance. I was there for the Rumble and kind of scheduled a family vacation around that weekend. And so I was privileged to see Matt Riddle and involved that weekend. And I walk into the venue, which was a rec center, literally just a couple of blocks away from where the Royal Rumble was being held. And I walk into the venue, and the first thing I see taped up on a vending machine is a poster for the event. The poster for the event is just Matt Riddle. It's just Matt Riddle with the information, with like evolved and everything. And in my mind, I'm like, you know, Chris Hero's here, Team Tremendous is here, Caleb Conley, who's been with WWN forever. I was like, you know, Timothy Thatcher, Drew Gulak. There's some good guys here. I can't believe that the poster for this event is literally just a picture of Matt Riddle. And I was like, you know, I was completely, as a skeptic and all that, I was completely ready for this guy who had buzz to not live up to the hype. And he more than exceeded it. I just could not have been more impressed with his ability. And even more than that, even more than his God-given ability, his intuitions and knowing, you know, what his voice is and what his body language is like in the ring, and having the chance to speak with him a little bit that weekend, just the most humble guy, the nicest guy. By far, he made maybe the biggest impression on me of that whole weekend out of anybody that I saw, and then seeing him again in Dallas and a few times on tape since then. Yeah, he's scary good for someone of his experience level. And Chris Hero, I think, is without hyperbole, I think Chris Hero is a treasure on the independent scene right now. I think, you know, there's not a lot of guys who have his experience, who have his know-how and his knowledge, and who still have that willingness to, you know, go out there and bust their ass and give back and teach guys and develop new guys and everything. You know, I two guys that I've worked closely with over the years who I hold in similar regard are Matt Hardy and Shane Helms. From my time in the Carolinas, they have both just been so giving and so nurturing of developing talent. And I think Chris Hero is the same way. You know, he is a joy for all of us to have at this level because of his knowledge, because of his ability. You know, he's putting good people back in the industry with every time they get to work with him, every seminar he does, every, you know, anything. He's nurturing the garden, so to speak, for these guys to grow out of. And I think there's nothing better, in my opinion, than that. As I've been, you know, traveling the independents for over a decade now, there's nothing better than replanting that garden and replenishing that supply of fresh young guys. So I'm completely excited to see both those guys. And there's a lot of, like you touched on earlier, there's a lot of Georgia guys and some Tennessee guys who, you know, could steal the weekend. There are a lot of guys who are looking at this, and this is a straight shoot. I don't mean from a kayfabe perspective. I mean from a straight shoot. There are guys like a Chip Day or a Gunnar Miller who are looking at this as like, okay, yep, all this attention is on this show. You know, Chris Hero or Matt Riddle or whoever may have drawn the house, but I'm going to steal the show. I'm going to be the guy that everybody's talking about when they're leaving from these events. And, you know, that's one of the best things in the world, too, is just when everyone is so excited and everyone just has great hopes to kill it. Everybody on the crew looking to hit a home run, that's when magic happens. And that's what I'm expecting this weekend in Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, I think last year, you know, Anthony Henry wasn't, I guess, too well known, but after that match with Jimmy Rave, felt like there was a lot more buzz about him. Now, I mean, he's been tearing it up in PWX this year, so there's certainly opportunity for there to be that type of guy to really get his name out there this year, which is exciting to see. All right, so it's it'll be Friday and Saturday night, and I don't quite know the pronunciation of the town. Oldowah, Tennessee, is right outside of Chattanooga.
You notice I've been saying Chattanooga the whole time. I was going to go there.
Well, I know Ace Rockwell on Twitter said it's like 10 miles from downtown Chattanooga. So essentially, you know, I live 50 miles from Atlanta and tell people I live in Atlanta. So it's Chattanooga, essentially. At the East Hamilton High School, bell times at 7:30 both nights. Front row sold out. I do have my front row ticket secured. But general admission's only $10, so you can be second row if you get there early enough, pay $10 and watch the show. So come on out.
And I said on Twitter, all these guys for $10 is a steal. Right. You know, I have people tell me all the time at CWF Mid-Atlantic in the Carolinas, it's like, I cannot believe you're charging this little an amount for the talent that's present. And the same thing is true for this. If you are anywhere within driving distance of the Chattanooga area, to see all these world-class wrestlers for $10 is a steal. And that's not me as a shill. That's not me speaking hyperbolically. That's just me being honest.
Yeah, no, I mean, I with my family life right now, I have to be pretty selective. I don't get to make as many towns as I would like. But this was certainly one that I didn't want to pass up, and I look forward to meeting you, Brad, on Friday.
Well, I will tell you this, in the interest of that, I don't feel like I'm telling tales out of school here. In conversations with your number two best wrestler in the world privately, the one match that he has always expressed wanting to have at CWF was the match with your number one wrestler in the world. So he's wrestling in other places, but he's like, I want to have that match here in front of our fans in our building. So if I ever make that happen, you're going to be one of the first ones that I buzz, and I'm going to get you down my way for that one.
Well, we know Chris Hero can work a long match, and as we've seen in CWF this year, so can Trevor Lee. So yeah,
I'll put them on at 7 o'clock. I'll put them on at 7 o'clock and do like the old standby matches on TV.
Right. Oh, that sounds awesome. I'm salivating right now thinking about that. But all right,
well, thanks,
Brad,
guys, so much.
Yeah, you look forward to seeing everybody. It's going to be a big crew. Chris Elner from Place to Be Nation, Exile on Bad Street in Between Sheets is going to be down there Saturday. The Hell's Clan, all 7-8 members of them. I think
it's a brain thrust of independent wrestling at this thing. Like this is like the old WFIA convention.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like. My God.
Are the Hales coming in like just a big dilapidated van, like Matt Hardy's dilapidated boat? I'm picturing
like a Volkswagen 68, like hippie vehicle.
Yeah, or like the Freebirds van in that one world class. When they're
right.
Or like the Bluesmobile where the whole band is in the one car.
Oh, boy. Bradley, thank you so much for joining us. Stay safe in Charlotte. Don't party too hard because you need to make it to
Absolutely.
Scenic City.
Well, there's a situation going on all around me as I've been doing this podcast. Apparently, someone in the vicinity of FanFest crashed or jumped out of or something, a stolen car. So as I've been sitting here calmly in the lobby, like cops have been running past me this whole time. So, yeah, hopefully maybe it'll be a good night to just stay in the room. We shall see.
You're still stuck it through with the podcast as criminal activities are going around you.
Yeah. As the rock and roll.
Thank you guys so much. I want to encourage everybody who's inside my voice, please subscribe to youtube.com/CWFMidAtlantic. We are trying to reach 5,000 subscribers by the end of summer. And we're at about a little less than 4,400 now. So we're trying to get 600 new subscribers before the end of the summer. I encourage everyone within the sound of my voice to please subscribe. New content drops every week. And we give it away. We just want to get eyeballs on the magic that we're creating out here. But thank you guys, as always, for the time. And anytime you want to talk some more beautiful professional wrestling, give me a call.
We will have you on again soon. Have a great weekend. We will talk soon. See you, Brad.
Thank you so much.
Chad, what the hell is downtown Chattanooga? Like, is that actually a thing? Like, what does that mean? What could that be like, downtown Chattanooga?
It's as big as Providence.
Come on. Chattanooga.
Oh, I'm sorry. I know it's not in the northeast little quadrant where... your little world revolves around, but
Chattanooga, downtown Chattanooga.
If you branch out a little bit, put your big boy pants on and go out in the big world, you'll see there's a lot out there.
Fly down to
That's the guy from Georgia.
Yeah, the guy from Georgia whose big plane trip is to Tennessee. Yeah, you gotta go explore. Unbelievable.
I'm Wikipedia-ing this right now because I bet there is more people in Chattanooga than Providence. It's got to be close.
Well, there's a lot of inbreeding down there. They got
176,000 in Chattanooga.
They don't have Providence's rich history.
Come on. They got a nice aquarium, Rock City, Ruble Falls. 178,000 for Providence. 2,000 mother effing different people is the difference.
There you go. See?
So, yeah, your little big town. Did you scoff at Royal Rumble being in Providence?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was surprising that they would run Providence for a pay-per-view at the time.
Yeah. Well, Halloween Havoc was in Chattanooga.
And how did WCW end up?
Final Four. We got Final Four.
All right. Let's wrap things up. Another great episode here.
Does Chattanooga have a statue of God, Sham God, which I'm assuming is existing somewhere in Providence?
He left, Nate. He went down to the Dallas Mavericks. Very sad around here. He was on the PC coaching staff the last few years.
God, Sham God.
Played a big role in Chris Dunn's development. We could talk God, Sham God all day, buddy, if you want. We'll do a whole God, Sham God podcast. You could probably get him on, honestly.
You know what? I was having a conversation the other day with somebody, and we were just talking about, like, 90s NBA and NCAA basketball. So many great names and characters, man.
Yeah, that could definitely be a whole show to itself. We'll, once the NBA team podcast finally goes away, we'll break that out and do one of our own 90s NBA. That's back to back weeks now. I've gotten
that. All right. Nothing but Stacey Ogden and Larry Johnson talk.
Straight shoot. Speaking of guys with women's names, straight shooting. All right, why don't we go ahead and wrap up. Chattanooga becomes Chattanooga this weekend, so be sure to check out the Cynic City Invitational, whether it's on, I guess, DVD after chat. Is that the deal?
It's going to be on woowrestling.com. They do it's a video on demand platform. It was really well done last year. I think both nights you could get for $8.99, around $10. About 6 hours of wrestling for $10, two full shows. It was good.
Very good. All right. We'll check all that out, and Chad will have you back on to wrap things up with it. And, of course, we'll have you back in 2 weeks, too, because lots going on in the world of New Japan, of course, 2 weeks from now. And as I mentioned earlier, it'll also be our big SummerSlam weekend preview, as Steve and I will be in the house, so we'll be covering all of that. So, for Nate Milton, for Steve Willey, Chad Campbell, Brad Stutz, Brad Woodling, and Kevin Kelly, the voice of Ring of Honor, I'm JT Rizzero. We're out. Everyone take care. We'll talk in 2 weeks' time. Enjoy the show and enjoy your rest. Let me understand your plan. Lord, it's obvious we got a relationship, talking to each other every night and day. Although you're superior over me, we talk to each other in a friendship way. Then out of nowhere you tell me to break out of the country and into more countries, past eyes birth into rhythms, where the ghost of childhood haunts me. Walk the roads my forefathers walked, climb the trees my forefathers hung from. Ask those trees for all their wisdom. They tell me my ears are so young. Go back to whence you came. My family tree, my family name. For some strange reason it had to be. He got